Father, we thank you so much for pulling on our hearts to break through that callous wall that we build up. Throughout our lives, we run into things that just seem to make us harder. We build that wall, and we don't want anyone in. Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, we realize that it's okay. And we realize that you want us to be totally yours. That we need to open up every part of our being to your Spirit. And that your Spirit would move in our lives and build in us who you want us to be. Servants to you and servants to others. We pray now that you would bless this time. Lord, use me as your voice. Come through in a way that will touch each one of us in a powerful way. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Last week, you know, we looked at the devil's schemes and many deceivers and false teachers, and that we are under attack. And if you haven't felt it, I think that we have seen it not only in the news, but even in our own lives. We've heard all about the Las Vegas attack. And in my opinion, it is a great symbol of what Satan does. No sign, no warning, no second chance. All of a sudden, they were running for their lives. Have you ever felt that in the spiritual realm? Have you seen it in your life and others? Satan is attacking believers. Satan is pulling out all the tricks, all the deceptions he has, because he knows his time is short. He uses family, friends, feelings, like quote-unquote love, hurt, sorrow, suffering, partial truth, ISIS, criminals, world leaders, politics, even the church. I've seen families dysfunctional, children rebellious, parents abusing, friends turning on friends, gossiping and slandering. I see Christians watering down the Word of God to fit their own beliefs, wanting all things to be okay, and, quote, don't judge me, man. I see people who let so-called love run their lives. And they may call it love, but it's not the love of the Bible. Hurt, sorrow, suffering make people choose to leave the church or make unwise choices. ISIS, criminals, world leaders, and politicians make some people give up or rebel against all authority. Even in the church, if I share something or someone else shares a truth out of the Bible that rubs someone the wrong way, they leave. And if you don't do what I want and say what I want, I'll leave. I've seen churches misuse the Word of God to rule over or abuse its people. In the Scriptures, we're told about this. On the screen there, Luke chapter 12. And I started it in 49, but here it starts in 52. But I'm going to read it from 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth. This is Jesus talking, by the way. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's completed, talking about his death. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but the vision. From now on, there will be 5 in one family divided against each other, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. You know, in this context of what Jesus is talking about here, he shares about the end times, what's going to happen in the future. And because of Jesus, families will be at odds with one another. In the end days, we see it already, children rebelling against parents and parents basically rebelling against their children. It's kind of a sad state of affairs, but 1 Corinthians talks a little bit about it too, and I want you to go there, 1737 in your pew Bibles, 1737, Rome, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And starting in verse 12, you see, we can do anything we want, but not everything is beneficial. In verse 12, it says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything or a slave to whatever or addicted to whatever. You know, some people say that the Bible doesn't talk about everything. But if the Bible really does, because here it is, everything's permissible. Oh yeah, we can go to that movie, or we can go to this party or that party, or we can do this or we can do that. But wait a minute though, it says, not everything's beneficial. You know, not everything is good for you to do. And you need to be careful about that. Same thing, it says, it's all permissible, but I won't be mastered by anything. I knew a guy that couldn't go without Mountain Dew. That seems a little weird, but, you know, he was addicted to it. And some people are addicted to other things. You know, some, it's alcohol, some it's drugs, some it's, you know, maybe relationships or pornography. You know, but it says here, I won't be mastered by anything. So if it begins to take control of my life, I got to get it out of my life. Now, he talked about food here a little bit, and then he talked about sexual immorality. He says to flee from it, to run from it. That's what it means, run from it. You know, but wait a minute, it's so tempting. It kind of is attractive. But it says here in verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Who is in you? Whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Wow. You know, that puts a little crimp on some of our freedoms, doesn't it? We need to behave like those who are Christians. We need to behave like those who have the Holy Spirit within us. He is in us, and we're going to take Him to the places we take Him. Satan would just love it because it reduces our witness to zilch. And I hear it. Don't be a fool that I don't hear it. Because I go through town and I go to different places and I'll be sitting somewhere and someone will come up and say, you know, doesn't so-and-so go to your church? Yeah, I'm asking, wondering. And they say, well, I see them this and this and that. They go to the same bar I go to. We yuck it up an awful lot. You ever see the stuff they post on Facebook? Unfortunately, yeah, I do. Because I'm your friend too. And I see things that I go, why would you post that? Let's move on. 2 Timothy, I want us to go there. 18:13. 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right. Timothy's being written to, Paul is writing Timothy, and he's telling him this. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. You know, somebody that says, don't judge me, man, and here in the scriptures we find that it says that we are supposed to correct, rebuke, and encourage. You know, if we see someone doing what they shouldn't do, we should correct them. Man, that's not right. Read this. This is how we should go. If they rebel, we should rebuke them. Man, get your head back in the game. Don't you know you're the temple of the Lord? Don't you know who you represent? But we all should encourage. Man, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much. God is so pleased with how you're living. But instead, there's a great number of people who decide they want to find someone who will agree with them. And so people leave churches because they don't like what's being said. And so they find a church that's going to itch their ears. Scratch their back. You scratch mine, I'll scratch yours. We like it when it's wonderful things being said, that it's all good. And yet, we're called into account, an accountability. The church is not a club or a hangout. It's to hear what God wants us to know. What he wants so that we can be built up for the works of service. We're not here to, you know, it's great to fellowship and it's great to sing the songs and some like them all, some don't like them all, some like some others. But we're here to grow, to become what God wants us to be so that we go and share the gospel. It's a dying world out there. I don't know how many people knew the Lord in that Las Vegas tragedy. I pray that they all did. But it was over in a second. Wouldn't it have been great if there were those in that crowd that were sharing the gospel with others, that were witnessing. And you know, sometimes we don't have to witness by words. Sometimes it's just by the way we behave. We should be like Christians, showing Christ. Another scripture I have up on the screen, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. Another version says we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, we have a tendency to let the world control us, to let Satan control us because of his schemes. He uses the visual. He uses things in our lives. He uses people who ridicule, criticize, people who laugh at you because you're a Christian, because you believe in the Bible, and that's just a big fairy tale, right? The time of this age is winding down. How do you want to be found when Christ returns? How will we be found when Christ returns? Will we be found doing our own thing? Involved in something we really shouldn't be involved with, but, well, he hasn't come back for so long. Who knows when he's coming back? And just this one time. Or just this won't hurt. Satan knows his time is short. And he is going to shake you. Jesus told that to Peter. He said, you know, I've prayed because Satan wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to shake you to the very core. He will use all his tricks and tactics. He will use your friends. He will use authorities. He will use politicians. He will use the world situation, criminals, whatever it might be, to shake you to your core. How will we behave? What will we do? You know, I look at myself. I know that I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you. Because I'm not perfect either. Sometimes I get my eyes off the Lord and I find myself, you know, why do you not follow the Lord 100% all the time? But then the Holy Spirit comes along and he says, you know, it's an easy fix. Turn it around. Don't keep following that path. Don't let Satan trick you. Don't let him get you into putting this on the shelf, not reading it every day, not praying every day, not putting on that armor every day. Because we're here for one purpose. Jesus came to us and he saved us. He bought us with a price so that we can share it with others. Very simple. That's our purpose in life. You know, people say, I wonder what my purpose in life is. Oh yeah, you've got jobs and you've got things you need to do and school and whatever it is that you need to do. That's all part of it. You know, I've got a house to maintain too, and, you know, mow the lawn and pay the bills and all those things. But while you're doing it, you witness because you're filled with his Spirit. You're honest in everything you do. You're comforting to those who are hurting. You encourage those that need encouragement. But you're also going to be true to them and say, you know what? Let me pray for you. Because I see you stepping off the path. I need you to get back on the path with me. We're here to represent Jesus Christ, you know, and that's why I say the church isn't a club. And fortunately, I know that some of you are wondering, questioning, on a wrong path. And I just want us to have a time of prayer before we close up here and sing our last song. So why don't we just bow our heads right now? If you've been struggling, if you've been on that wrong path, maybe Satan has had you fooled or following the world's philosophy, the world's way. He's ambushed you. You pray. Pray with me. Father, I come to you ashamed of myself, because I know that your Spirit lives within me, and I have not lived for you. I've held things in the corners of my heart away from you because I don't want to give it to you. Lord, I have distanced myself. I have not read your word, and I have not prayed every day. I've been living my own life, following my own way. And I see now that it's wrong. I need to turn that around. And so, Lord, I repent. I repent right here and now of my rebelliousness. And I pray that your Spirit would come and fill me, renew my heart to follow you more closely. That from this point on, I will seek you first. I will read your word first. I will pray first. And Lord, I will witness for you in word and in deed. For those that are not Christians, for those that maybe haven't stepped across that threshold and trusted you as Savior, I pray that they are praying now, Jesus, come into my life. I don't know if I was one of those in Las Vegas and I was shot. I don't know where I would be. If I didn't survive, I don't know. I want to know. And so, Lord, I pray that you come into my life, make me a new creature, save me from my sins, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for our attention, for our coming to you and bearing our souls to you. We pray now as we sing this last song that it is a worship to you, that it is a sweet sound in your ears, no matter if we sing in tune or out of tune, that it's coming from our hearts. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us all to stand as we close.